Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for 35 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us for the last few weeks, you know we're right in the middle of a series that I'm calling Clearly Stated Portraits of God. And as you know, I see portraits of God throughout all of the Scripture and been doing that for a long time. But these are clearly stated ones that the Lord Himself gave to us. For example, we started off with how He said, I am the bread of life. And we took a good look at that. Then He said, I am the living water. Then He said, I am the light of the world. Then last time we talked about how He said in John chapter 10, how I am the door of the sheep. But in John 10, we also get a second metaphor, which we'll be covering today, a second portrait of God, when the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And oh, I can't wait to unpack this for you as we continue our journey through the Scriptures, the Lord loved letters, to see more and more portraits about who God is, what He's like, and to get a glimpse of His ways. And so if you have your Bibles or a device, let me invite you just to go to John 10. We're going to pick it up in verse 11 here in a few moments. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that you can find these 27-minute broadcasts archived on my website. It's at markpg.org. That's markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God. On that landing page, you'll see several boxes with all kinds of different resources there. But click on the box that says Broadcasts. And then on the next page, click on Portraits of God. And then you'll have a list of these 27-minute broadcasts on what the Lord is like, how much He loves us, what He loves to do. So that's at markpg.org. All right, as we get ready to look at this particular portrait that the Lord gave us in describing Himself as the Good Shepherd, oh, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I love coming together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet. I love gazing in Your eyes and listening for Your heart to speak to our hearts. And Lord, as we look at this particular portrait, how You are our good shepherd, oh, there's so many things we could say about this. But as we just take a stroll through John 10, I pray You'll open up our eyes and our hearts to receive what You have for us there as You give us a very good look at how You are indeed our good shepherd. So speak, Lord. We are so ready to hear You, Lord. And may it be embedded deep within our souls that our lives might be transformed. Oh, we pray for nothing less. In the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friend. Well, as we started in John 10, verse 1 last time, we got up through verse 10 of John 10, 1 through 10, where He was talking about how I am the door. I'm the door of the sheep. And just to kind of finish that up in verse 9, look at this where it says, Jesus was saying, I am the door. If anyone enters through Me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And as we looked at that whole 10-verse opening, we saw how the Lord, the door of our sheep, is our merciful door, our calling door, our personal door, our leading door, and our rescuing door. But then He comes up with another portrait to really focus in on what His heart is like towards those of us that are His sheep. Let's pick it up in verse 11 now. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, let me stop there for a moment because we're going to see that theme quite a bit, not just the portrait of him being our good shepherd, but how he lays down his life. And it's almost as the passage shows us that Jesus kept saying that, it kind of built into a crescendo until the last dynamic of when he's saying, I will lay down my life. But let's look at it in this first dynamic. Again, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then he describes this particular dynamic of laying down his life. Verse 12, he who is a hired hand. All right, that's opposed to a shepherd. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Well, he flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. Well, if you're a note taker, I'm going to have six more specific descriptions or portraits of the Lord as our good shepherd. And this first one gives us a great picture of how our good shepherd is our protective shepherd. The good shepherd is our protective shepherd. He sees the wolf. He stays. He protects the sheep, but not those that are a hired hand. They don't care. They don't have the concern. They don't have the love for the sheep that the shepherd does. And one of the true hallmarks of a truly loving shepherd. And by the way, as we go through these more specific portraits and metaphors of the shepherd, this has application for those who are dads, those who are bosses, those who are coaches, those who are teachers, and any position where you have some authority and responsibility for those that are under your charge, you are a shepherd, my friend, in the metaphorical sense. Now, we're not going to get into all the pastor, shepherd kind of thing. That's a whole other dynamic, because pastor is literally shepherd, but there's a whole lot of layers to the whole pastoral office, and that's a topic for another day. But metaphorically, generally, those who oversee a group of people, again, you know, coaches, teachers, bosses, pastors included, dads, even moms, because you shepherd your sheep as well. Generically speaking, we're to be protective shepherds, just like the Lord Jesus is our protective shepherd. Now, we get a graphic bad example in the very first book of the Bible in Genesis, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and when Eve was being tempted. We know that whole story, how the enemy seduced her into eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was forbidden to them, lest they should die. Of course, it would be their spirits dying, because we know that they didn't die physically in that moment, but they did have their spirit dying. But here's the thing. The scripture goes on in that passage that says that she gave fruit to her husband, Adam, who was with her. She didn't have to go find him. The man was standing right there, but he wasn't acting like a man. He was acting like a boy. He was passive when the enemy was seducing his wife. He was passive by not stepping up to protect her. That's the heart of a hired hand, as it were, rather than a true shepherd that loves those under his charge enough to protect them. Wow. That's why true manhood is not in the spirit of Adam. It's the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd, who is a protective shepherd. By the way, over in Psalm 23, of course, the classic picture of the shepherd as well from the Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd, verse 1. I shall not want. He lets me or makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. And he restores or renews my soul. But let me take you on down to something similar in this passage that we have just read about the wolf coming. Because look at it. In this world, there's an acknowledgement that everything's not meadows and quiet waters. It is spiritual warfare out there, my friends. There are dark valleys. And so here in verse 4 of Psalm 23, it says, well, even when I go through the darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, as it says in other translations. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The shepherd is with me. Doesn't run off. Doesn't just stand there passively. You are with me. In fact, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why? Because the shepherd uses that rod and staff to shoo away wolves, to beat away predators, and sometimes even to discipline us when we need it, but in a loving way. He is our good shepherd, who is our protective shepherd. I love that. He lays down his life. I may get bitten. I may be scratched and leaped upon by these wolves, but I will protect my sheep. Oh, I love that. Oh, my friend, know that the Lord is always right there with you, even when you're going through the valleys of the shadow of death, even when you face predators or enemies. The Lord is there as our good shepherd to protect us, because he is our protective shepherd. Now, the text goes on there in John chapter 10, as we circle back there. And as we keep reading, after this section about the hired hand who flees but the shepherd who stays, let's pick it up in 14. He picks up the metaphor again, and he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own. Oh, I love that. And I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So here we have another reference to laying down his life in order to be known. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to reveal myself. I'm going to show you some things that you can get to know me. But even before that, he reassures us by saying, I know my own. And then he says, my own know me. So let's unpack those two. This is number 2 and 3 in our running list of 6 things that more specifically describe the Good Shepherd. Here, as I was walking through it, as I was meditating upon it and seeing how the Lord is saying, I know mine own. Last time we talked about how he calls us by name. He did that with Mary at the tomb, and that's what opened up her eyes. He knows us by name. He knows us inside and out. I'm going to call this how he is not just our protective shepherd, like we saw a moment ago, but he is our discerning shepherd. He knows everything about it. I'm using the word discerning here because I want it also to be applicable to the way we understand our role as dads or as coaches or teachers and pastors and so on, about discerning the heart, discerning the state or status of the sheep. Do you know your sheep? Do you have constant conversations with them so you can get to know them and they get to know you, which is the second part that we'll cover in just a moment. But isn't it good to know that the Lord knows you inside out? In fact, we could call this, he's our creator shepherd, because he created us. He designed us. He made us unique. He gave us gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. He's allowed experiences in our life for us to learn and grow and be shaped. He's the one who shapes us. We're on the potter's wheel. There's so many ways the scripture talks about that. He is our creator shepherd, but he makes him our discerning shepherd. He knows us, my friend. So whatever you're dealing with, just ask him. He's happy to talk with you about that. He is our creator, designer, God, our creator, designer, shepherd, our discerning shepherd who knows every single thing about us. I tell you what, one of the greatest dynamics and blessings of being truly loved is that you are being truly known. Do you know those around you? Do you take the time to get to know them deeper and deeper? Your mate, your kids, your neighbors, your church mates, your office mates, whatever. The Good Shepherd is a protective shepherd and a discerning shepherd who knows his own. And he calls us by name. And he designed us to be unique. You ever feel like the odd man out, the fifth wheel? Amen. Why? Because you're unique. Everybody feels that way about themselves. We are different, and that is a good thing. We call him Creator for a reason. He's creative. And that's us, my friend. Well, in that ongoing conversation he loves to have for us, to the degree that we respond to him and spend quiet time with him, meditate upon his ways, be still to hear his still small voice, his whispers from above, we get to know him. This is the third on our list of more specific portraits of our good shepherd. He's our protective shepherd, he's our discerning shepherd, but he's our knowable shepherd. Now, this is a fun one because, you know, the Lord is so beyond us. He is infinite, we are finite. He is transcendent, and we are temporal. We can never get to know the totality of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Creator God of the universe. But you know what? He loves to give us glimpses of himself. And we are on a need-to-know basis. And I have come to peace with that. I'm glad that I have escaped from the snare of thinking, Lord, I really need to understand everything that you're doing here in this situation before I move on. Lord, I really need to understand what you have in mind for this person in my life or that person in my life before I can go on. No. We're on the need-to-know basis. He knows everything. We can trust him. We can know him. We know that he's trustworthy. We know that he loves us. We know that on a scale of 1 to 10, we are a 10 to him. We're the apple of his eye. Why? Because he created us. He drew us unto himself, unto salvation. We've become one with him, my friend, and we can get to know him. He is a knowable shepherd. Here's a good time to remind us of this concept that we call theologically progressive revelation. And it's not that hard to understand. That which the Lord reveals to us about himself and his ways, we cannot receive it all in one big fell swoop. Name any subject in school, science, math, poetry, English, workshop, whatever it is, any skill you're wanting to learn, auto mechanics, plane design, the golf swing, whatever. It takes time to get to know that. We have progressive revelation in any field that we're trying to know better and better. And it's no different with the Lord. And he loves to give us glimpses of himself. Sometimes we think he's hiding from us so that he can't be found. No, he's hiding from us so that he can be found. He's the mom or dad playing hide and seek with a little 3 or 4 year old who hides behind the curtain but makes sure and sticks a foot out so the toddler can see the foot. So the toddler can come over, pull back the curtain and say, oh, there's mommy or there's daddy. Well, that's the Lord with us. We are the children of the Lord. He wants us to know him. He'll play a little hide and seek sometimes so that we will seek him out. But he will give us enough to see himself, to keep seeking after him. He is a knowable shepherd. I love how that passage in verse 14 tells us that Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me. And I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Why? So that they can find me, so they can discover me, so they can know me deeper and deeper. I just love that. Wow. Okay, so we have 3 of the 6 so far. The good shepherd is our protective shepherd. He's our discerning shepherd, and he is our knowable shepherd. Well, I want you to see that he's also our welcoming shepherd. That's number 4 if you're a note taker. He's our welcoming shepherd. Let's pick it up in verse 16. Oh, this is fascinating. Out of the blue, seemingly, he says, I have other sheep. Okay, wait. We have the flock. Well, you know our own here. Hello. You say you have other sheep somewhere? Well, he says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with the shepherd. All right. Let's put ourselves in the shoes or the, what do you say? I guess, what do they have? Little feet? The little hooves of the sheep of the known flock. And then he says, hey, there are some other sheep. and I'm going to bring them in, and I want to enfold them with you, because I am the one shepherd who welcomes all who want to be part of my flock. Now, this has several layers of understanding and application. In one sense, we can talk about it in terms of the Jews and the Gentiles. And in this context, the Jews were, as we know, expecting some kind of a military or political leader to establish the nation of Israel. But he's teaching them, I've got a deeper kingdom, a higher kingdom, a stronger kingdom, that even in the midst of your Roman occupation, that's basically irrelevant, because in the midst of that, you can be citizens of heaven. You can be part of my flock. You can be my covenant partner. You can be my son, my daughter that's born again, or an adopted son and daughter. There's so many metaphors he's using. Here is the sheep metaphor he's using, but the material point is, it's open to Jews, Gentiles, male, female, big, small, whatever, on and on and on. I have other sheep that are not of this fold that I must bring them and integrate them with you, because I'm very welcoming to anybody, any place, of any ethnicity, any place on the earth, to come and be part of my kingdom, my sheepfold, my flock. And that's why when we think about missions and evangelism and going into all the world, and we think of the Great Commission, when Jesus said to go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. In other words, go and reach out to the other sheep that are out there, even if they don't look like you, even if they don't share the same culture or the language. Go out there, learn their language, or take others that do, that already know me, and build my kingdom wherever you go. Share my gospel wherever you go. Set people free from their darkness wherever you go. I have other sheep that are all out there, not of this fold. And I want you to bring them in and enfold them with you. Is that just way cool or what? That's why I absolutely love those churches who get this, and they are organically becoming multi-ethnic churches, multi-generational churches, you know, young and old, and they just have a heart to be a flock under the shepherd, no matter what background, what language you speak. Now, you know, we get that those that have the same language want to worship together in that language, whether it's Spanish or Creole or Romanian or Korean or Vietnamese, whatever it is. Now, we get that. And they're not being segregationists. I mean, we get that. But we do everything we can to encourage each other in the bigger picture that we are of one flock under one shepherd, who is a good shepherd, who is a protective shepherd, a discerning shepherd, a noble shepherd, a welcoming shepherd, and he's the sacrificial shepherd. This is where the lay down my life theme goes even deeper than we've seen thus far. Pick it up in verse 17. Jesus said, "For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again." So there it is. That's the crucifixion. Lay down my life. I voluntarily lay down my life so that I may take it up again. The resurrection. No one has taken it away from me. I wasn't the victim of the Romans or the Jewish leaders. This was part of the plan all along. I voluntarily laid down my life on the cross. He goes on, "No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative, in obedience to the Lord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." And this dovetails with this last, more specific description or portrait of our good shepherd. He's the sacrificial shepherd who allowed his body to be broken on the cross, tortured and maimed and stabbed and killed, so that he could resurrect to complete the atoning work by his blood on the cross to be our substitute sacrifice. And he willingly did that. Why? This authority thing, don't think of authority as if I've got the power and I'm going to lord it over you. Boy, all over Scripture, we see that that's not how we should understand authority. It's the authority to serve one another, to be responsible shepherds. Are you a responsible shepherd to serve those around you? In Jesus' case, even to the point of death, death on the cross. In our case, laying down our preferences, laying down our own, you know, detailed do lists or expectations and say, wait a minute, these people under my charge are works in progress, even if as I am. And am I going to be responsible enough to exercise the authority given to me gently and wisely and carefully? Jesus said, I am gentle and humble in heart. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I am gentle and humble in heart. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my burden is easy. The yoke is light. Gentle, humble, gracious, compassionate, responsible shepherds, authorities, dads, pastors, bosses. That's the portrait of the Good Shepherd, broken down in six different ways, and there are tons more, far more portraits throughout the Scripture, my friend. But oh, does he give us a graphic portrait of himself and how we should be like him, abiding in him to bear much fruit and to be a good shepherd like he is a good shepherd. Well, Lord, we thank you for this word today. We receive that and want to walk in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at MarkPG for more. Until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our good shepherd.